Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Tuesday, the 8th of April, 2025. I always want to be careful of the date. I often get the year wrong or the month wrong. It's bounce day. I do see this as a bit of a bounce for the indices, I mean. Because let's be honest, it's still not going well for tariffs, is it? Let's be honest. China, well, I got a story on that in a bit. Anyway, lots of companies with some trading updates and results out, so I'll cover lots of those. Microcap companies, of course. But let's look at the markets first. FTSE 100 up 2.75%. You know, not regaining anywhere near the drop-offs it's had, but it's a good bounce. FTSE 250, it's up 3.27%. Where's the FTSE 100 is not yet above the 8,000 level, which was a key sort of support level. It's 7914. The FTSE 250, again, the sort of support there was round about, I suppose, 19,500, but 18,346. The FTSE small cap up 2.5%. What about AIM? It's up 2.3%, so bouncing off a low there, but it's still at 638, which is pretty much an 18-month low still. Let's have a look at commodities. Oh, by the way, S&P yesterday, it generally opened up. It's always a good sign, this. They opened up about 4% down in the US markets, Dow Jones about 3%, and they bounced. And they ended the day with the S&P just down a fifth of 1%. What happened? The NASDAQ was up a tenth of 1%. And I think the Dow Jones Industrial was down just about 0.9%. So they did regain a lot of lost ground from the morning. The fear of the morning gave way to some bullish buys. But Brent crude, it's still dropping here. Has it bounced? Not really. It's trying to bounce today, but it's pretty much flat to $64 a barrel. Copper, it has bounced, but it's fallen a long way down from its recent high. So copper is pretty much up 2.2% a day, but we are at $9,433 a ton. And of course, it was at $11,588, so over $2,000. Dollars per ton less at the moment. Gold, it's bouncing here. It did drop last few days, but it's still above $3,000 an ounce, and it's up 2% a day. Let's have a look at the government bond yields. Of course, this is how much the government pay to borrow money on a two-year. It is 3.9, and that's down 0.9%. And also the 10-year yield is at 4.6%, down 0.65%. What else is there? A pound will buy you 1.16 euros, 1.16 euro. So that's dropped off a cliff the last few days. And against a pound, it'll buy you $1.27. Against the dollar, I mean, of course. Is that it? That's it for that, yes. Okay, let's get us on some macro news. Listen to this. UK investors loaded up on US stocks prior to Trump tariff turmoil, data shows. So barrage of traces. Apparently, many US-focused funds, they netted £1.8 billion of inflows from UK investors in March, the third best month in the 10-year data set, as investors tried to buy the dip following a weak start of the year for US shares, Callison says. You've got to be careful, you see. You know, it doesn't happen very often, big falls like this. But you do get corrections, you know, about once a year. And so it's worth waiting, I think. And it's odd, isn't it? People have been talking about the US markets for years, and you do find a lot of retail investors are late to the party. They tend to buy the highs because, you know, everyone's talking about the stocks that are hitting highs. That is not when to buy. It's the old adage, buy low, sell high, you know. But so you often get a lagging effect from retail investors trying to chase the market that's already hit highs. Like I said, the reason why I think this is a bit of a bounce today, and I think the American markets will go lower, is because Trump is now threatening 100% tariffs on China. So it's additional 50% on tariffs on China. If it doesn't withdraw its retaliatory measures, pushing the possible level of tariffs it faces on exports to the US at over 100%. So he said, in a Truth Social, it's called. Truth Social. Yeah, that's his social site. He said the tariffs on US imports of 34% represented an abuse that added harsh taxes to US exporters. So these are the biggest economies in the world, China, America, and they're at loggerheads. It's not going to work, is it? But also, like I said yesterday, it didn't feature that on Truth Social. But, I mean, if they're into the truth, why didn't they reveal that the numbers they, showed during that Rose Garden speech were not based on tariffs? That's the truth. The truth of the matter is they manipulated the figures to look at deficits. And Trump is now saying with the EU he wants to, cut the deficit. Well, you can't produce Mercs, BMs, Audis, Porsches, VWs in America. The home of those cars are Germany. They're not going to up sticks and move their factories to America. By the time they do that, Trump will be out of office. Doesn't make any sense. So like I said, focusing on deficits is really sort of a misdirection, to try and get to show how unfair America is being treated. That's the whole point of international trade. You trade with other countries and they're selling you stuff that you don't have and you sell them stuff that they don't have. So if you look at just the goods deficit with the EU, it's quite large. But America sell a lot of services, financial services, to Europe. So it's just insane. I don't see how people need to call him out saying they're not tariffs. Does he not understand international trade? That's what it's about. I mean, why would you buy stuff from another country if you are making that stuff, exactly the same stuff in your country? You wouldn't. That's the whole point. You buy stuff you don't produce. There's always going to be deficits in certain sectors. And finally, mortgage rates set to drop after tariff turmoil. Lenders are set to cut rates on mortgages after turmoil from US President Donald Trump's tariff policy raised expectations that UK interest rates could be cut further this year. TSB Bank said it will reduce some two-year fixed-rate mortgages by up to a quarter of a percentage point on Wednesday, following empowered mortgages which trimmed rates across a number of deals. This is what we need to see. Of course, it's a reaction to probably the economy slowing down, but nevertheless, it will stimulate growth. Like I said several times, the housing market stimulates so many different sectors. So financial markets and economists are predicting the Bank of England will cut interest rates by more than expected this year. I think it's now they're expecting 4 rate cuts. The average 2-year and 5-year fixed rates were unchanged on Tuesday at 5.32% for 2-year and 5.17% for 5-year. But we need to see that. Interest rates coming down, we need to see that. There's going to be no inflation in the system, even with tariffs, because global growth was slow. We need to see it cut. Okay, some micro news. And I've got to say, two of my companies, very good businesses, have released positive updates. It lifts my mood, when I get some good news from companies I own. It really does. This is why I love the markets. They have the ability to change your emotions. I mean, that's the whole point. People say, emotions, you shouldn't trade with emotions. I don't trade with emotions, but if I didn't have emotions, I'd be a robot. No point being living, would there, if you had no emotions? It's what gets you up in the morning, what gets you excited. I'd love it, 7 a.m. when I see two companies. Anyway, one is Beeks Financial Cloud, and I'll cover that. And one is Ramsden's, ahead of expectations. What have I been saying? I hate when people say that. I told you so, but I didn't tell you so. I told you so. And I did, post this several times. And I thought maybe I'd better stop saying it. But in the chat group at sharepickers.com, I did say, I wouldn't be surprised if Ramsden's results come in ahead of expectations. And I said it a couple of times, just by looking at the uplift they had last year from the gold price, it lifts all their revenue streams. I mean, they're not reliant on it because they always get a margin. But of course, when you listen to the radio or whatever, or TV news, adverts for gold buying and selling, people become more aware of it. And they say, oh, hang on, we got some gold we don't need. And so it's helped, as I said, was it last year? I think their gross margin on gold, precious metals, increased by 29%. And that was up until the 30th of September. That was before the gold price had rallied by another 14, 15%. Something, if they carry on trading quite well, with the uplift in gold prices, got to help them. So they've done it ahead of expectations. And anyway, I'll get into that in a bit. So let's look at Beaks. First of all, this is now on my Microcap League database, which is up and running on SharePickers. I'm quite proud of this. It's working quite well. It's easy to see companies are all color-coded. Every trading update, every interim or final results, I posted on there. By the way, if you are a member and you haven't visited the site yet or that page yet, please check it out. It's becoming a useful resource for looking at companies. So, first and foremost, Beaks Financial Cloud. I hold this, like I said. Market cap of 124 million. It's a bit behind that. It's bounced today. But they cash generative, and I think they've got a moat in this sort of financial services industry as an infrastructure, as a cloud provider. They expect to do. They've done, I think, since 2019, they've done over 30% compound annual growth. But the news today is that they've announced a proximity cloud win. It's basically the same as an exchange cloud win, but it's with tier one bank or some of that, and it's close to the exchange. So anyway, they said a multi-year proximity cloud contract with a leading global foreign exchange and multi-asset brokerage firm. The contract is worth $2 million over 4 years and is for the deployment of Beaks high-performance, dedicated and client-owned trading environment across the client's core FX platform, with revenue recognition set to commence in H2 2025, further supporting current board expectations. And by the way, these expectations are of 32% top-line growth again, and profit before tax up triple digits. They keep knocking it apart. This is a bona fide growth company generating proper cash, free cash flow. They're not just a growth company top line. They're growing all levels, top line and profits and free cash flow. I think it's good and good. I mean, we've had a recent sell-off, which is, I think, an opportunity for people to buy this stock at a bit cheaper level. It's not cheap, but of course, excellent companies that I think are quite unique are never going to be cheap. If you look at any company that's massively outperformed over the years, there were times when it wasn't cheap because people realise it's got something special. Like I said, I don't want to say any more about Beaks. Do your own research, but I think it's the fact they've signed so many exchanges and tier one asset managers, including NASDAQ, second biggest in the US, largest exchange in Africa, Johannesburg, the Grupo Bolso Mexicana de Valores, the second largest exchange in Latin America, is testament to their technology. I mean, why would people use them if they weren't the best? So that's Beaks, of course. Add to the watch list, do some research on that company. I do think it's one of those, stock market stars, and it'll continue to be so. Next, Calnex Solutions. They did a trading update, notes of results. They got a market cap of 36 million. And what have they said today? They said return to growth in financial year 25, in line with market expectations, achieving 12% growth in revenues of approximately 18.3. Sorry. 18.3 million versus 16.3. The group's balance sheet remains robust with cash of 10.9, which is 2.3% ahead of expectations. And this, and the board is monitoring the effects of proposed US tariff arrangements. But they are confident in continued growth in their recently launched products, and underpinned by that. My thoughts is the share price jumped today on this trade update, and I think it was more based on relief from an oversold position than fundamental recovery. So top line is forecast of growing 2025, but the return to profit is quite small, and it puts them on a PE 72. So they got plenty of cash, pay a dividend, but I don't know, I'm not convinced by the profit here. And like I said, they're assessing the impact of tariffs, so that's another bit of uncertainty. I mean, I'm the watch list, because they're a profitable company paying dividend, but it's not one I'd really want to invest in. Next one, Dealstone Group, the provider of software to recruitment industry. Market cap, they are a nano cap. They're literally 1.9 million market cap here. And they've got enterprise value of 3.6, so loans, convertible loan notes, basically. They've done top line, 4.9 million down from 5.5. It's all expected to drop again in 2025 for 4.5 from 4.9. And they're hardly going to make any profit at all. Ignore it. Just ignore. Because, like I said, they're a tiny market cap, weak balance sheet, and provide software to recruitment businesses. I mean, that sector is facing headwinds. And they have weak balance sheet, very little protection. It's illiquid. You may be able to buy some. You probably have struggle selling some. Next year's forecast, a drop in revenue. I think this is the kind of company that should delist. There's lots of costs of being a listed company, several hundred K. And if they got rid of that, they'd make a profit, because their profit at the moment, well, it was making a loss. But even with that saving, it would be insignificant to shareholders. So I think they should delist. Ignore Dealstone, DSG. Waste of time. What else is there? Q1 trading update from Distribution Finance, specialist independent bank providing award-winning commercial finance solutions and savings products to consumers and small businesses. They are a 60 million market cap, pretty much. I always find it hard to assess sort of banks' assets and liabilities, because, of course, assets are liabilities and liabilities are assets, so very tricky. But the last broker note said the results were strong, marginally ahead of expectations. Q1 trading update, strong momentum experienced by the group continues with record quarterly new loan origination of 382 million, up from 330. Continuation of extraordinarily low arrears, they say. So, it looks decent. I mean, the charts had a good run. They've had four ahead of expectations since March 2024 results. So they've done very well, but the share price has gone up. It's dipped recently, but they are of good value. Profit tax is expected to dip to 14.5 million versus 19 million, then return to growth in 26, 27. So for next year, a little bit of a dip. The company's on a PE of 4.3, but of course, that's not how you measure these companies. They're on a price to tangible net asset value of 0.36, so quite cheap. I'm not familiar with the sector, really, so I know nothing about it. But it seems like they're improving, apart from next year where it dips a bit, but they've had an exceptional year previously. So maybe watch list, but not one for me, as I'm not familiar with that kind of company. What's next? Indeed Group, IGP, and they've released a trading update. They're saying revenues for 25 expected to be approximately 17.7 versus 20, so 11.4% lower. Good recurring revenue. I do like this company. It's rolled over quite a bit. It hit, 2.10 in October 2024. It's now 133. And it's been sold off before the sort of tariff turmoil. But it needs to get it back above 150, really. That's where resistance is. I said, high quality business. They did see an exceptional year last year, which means profits, revenue will dip, and profits will dip for 25. But even though the share price has dropped, they'll still be on a forecast PE of 23, which is not cheap, although, like I said, good companies are not cheap, really cheap. Profit for tax for 2026 is forecast to drop slightly to 4 million from 4.4. But again, they continue to win new products, so these forecasts could be upgraded. So it's worth keeping on the watch list because it's a very good company, good products, but it's not cheap. That's all. Be aware of that. What's next? Nexus Infrastructure, NEXS, a leading provider of civil engineering infrastructure solutions through its two subsidiaries, Tamdown and Coleman Construction. What's the news today? Half-year trading update. They said the expectation of 30.2 million for H125 in line, an increase of 17.1%. The group remains at a strong balance sheet with cash and cash equivalents of 9.6 million, an increase of 3.2. It's rallied quite a bit, this. The lows are back in 24 at 70 pence in May. It's now 159. And they're loss-making. What's the loss? So results here. Yeah, so the 30th of the 9th, 24, September year-end, they made a pre-tax loss of 2.7 million off 56 million top line. Okay, dropped from 8.5 million loss, but also the revenue dropped from 88. They've sold one part of the company from 88 million to 56. Now, looking forward, there is top line growth, but they're still expected to be loss making. There's no forecast for 26, 27. So I'd say they are 12 million market cap. They have cash. But I can't see why the share price has rallied so hard, other than numbers may be getting less worse. Brokers will upgrade figures when interims are released in May. But I can't see anything in this, to be honest. At that kind of revenue, with producing no profit, very low margin. So I'd say substandard, ignore. There are better businesses out there. Ramsden's Cracker. A growing, diversified financial services provider and retailer operating in four core businesses: foreign exchange, pawnbroking, precious metals, buying and selling, and retailing of second-hand jewellery. They've got a market cap of 65 million, enterprise value 58, so they've got cash there. Dividend is above 5%. And they did it, what did they do last year? Pre-tax profit last year of 11.3 million. And they announced today, board is pleased to provide an update. As a result of continued positive momentum in the first half of 2025, the board now expects financial year 25 profit for tax to be at least 13 million, which is ahead of previous expectations. That's the phrase. That's it. Knocking out of the park. This is a great business. You know, they're generating. If you look at the constant upgrades they've had, they've got growth. Profit for tax is to grow by 16%. They've got value. They're on a PE of about 6.8 forecast next year. That's all, less than 7. And they've got income, a dividend of 5% plus. Companies possessing growth, value, and income are rare. But Ramsden's is one of them. They're one of those kind of companies you can count on. I say I hold that, so I'm probably a bit biased. And finally, Staffline Group, UK's market-leading recruitment and training group, has three divisions: Recruitment GB, Recruitment Ireland, and People Plus division. So these were final results, I think, weren't they? For 2024. And it saw top line grow by 14% and pre-tax profit of 5 million, up from a 2.1 million loss. And they are forecast to grow going forwards. Now, what's the market cap? 39 million. And the enterprise value is 29. So a cash of 14.6 million, debt of 5 million. So they have net cash of 9.6 million there. It has rallied off the bottom here. It rallied from February, which is 20 pence a share, up to 34 pence. So I'd say a tough market in this sector. It's very decent results. And there's also growth going forward. But as with all recruitment companies, margins are low. And in conjunction with an uncertain outlook, it does not provide me with enough confidence to consider investing in this company. However, they do have net cash of 9.6 and on a forecast PE of 9. Yeah, I'd prefer to go for Ramsden's. They're cheaper. They pay a nice dividend. And they're growing faster with better margins. So it comes down to that. You know, when you look at companies, don't just take every opportunity. Think what's the best in every area. I mean, obviously, Ramsden's in this different sectors. But as a business, of course, I prefer to go for this. For Ramsden's, absolutely. Well, I have. Anyway, I mean, it's not bad. I think the results were... But again, we've got this uncertainty around, you know, recruitment. So you don't know if these forecasts will change. You know how weak the employment market gets, really, do you? So there's a little bit of worry there. But nevertheless, good set of results for Staffline in an otherwise tough macro environment. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much was appreciated. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.